It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Hold on to your seats, my friends. Adam Schiff, former congressman, current senator, is calling for an investigation of Donald Trump. Whoa! Didn't see that one coming. Breaking news! Yes, Mr. Impeachment in search of a crime is always handy, always ready at the drop of a hat. This guy would call for Trump's impeachment if Trump missed a trash can and accidentally threw a candy bar wrapper on the street pavement. And what's the latest from this lying sack of serpent worms who still hasn't owned up to the phony Russian collusion that he pushed for years? That false narrative? Or the impeachment over Trump's phone call to Ukraine, a phone call where Trump suggested that Biden's business dealings should be looked into? And for good reason, because Biden actually is a crook. The allegations were all but proven already because Biden himself went on TV and bragged about it with his big stupid mouth. Anyway, what is it this time from Schiff? What is the charge du jour? President Trump is facing allegations of insider trading because he temporarily stopped a series of tariffs that led to a surge in stock prices as a result of stopping them. According to Fox News, Senator Adam Schiff urged Congress to investigate whether President Donald Trump participated in insider trading or market manipulation following his pause of the tariffs. Time reported that Arizona Senator Ruben Gallego joined Schiff in signing a letter sent to the White House Thursday morning for an inquiry into whether Trump, his family, or administration engaged in insider trading. Schiff and Gallego are requesting that the Office of Government Ethics review and produce transaction reports filed by government officials familiar with Trump's tariff plan. Schiff's push for this action comes after the S&P 500 jumped over 9% Wednesday after Trump announced the tariff pause. So once again, President Trump, who doesn't need our money and doesn't even take a salary as president, is only out to make a buck, only out to protect the rich. Yeah, bringing back factory jobs to Michigan, that's looking out for the rich. That's not looking out for the average worker at all, is it? My friends, insider trading is something done in secret, behind closed doors. Trump could not possibly have been more open, more public, more outspoken, more transparent about his tariffs and about the fact that tariffs might be rescinded if other countries are willing to make a deal, that it's a bargaining chip. And on the morning before the pause, Trump publicly announced that today would be a good day to buy. Publicly, not privately. That is not insider trading. If anything, it's outsider trading. First, Schiff and the Democrats blame him because his talk about tariffs and deals are bringing the stock market down. Now they're upset because his policies are bringing the stock market back up, something he told us again and again and again would happen. But Democrat policy is quite simple these days. If Trump is for it, they're against it. That's it. That's all. If Trump offered free housing to every African-American citizen, he'd be accused of colonization. If Trump cured cancer, they'd accuse him of genocide because cancer is a living organism. If Trump solved world hunger, they'd accuse him of putting Weight Watchers out of business. If Trump and Elon Musk sent people to Mars, they'd get accused of segregation. But then two-dimensional thinking is all we expect from the left these days. For example, Princeton professor Eddie Gloud appeared on MSNBC. Now, that should be a yellow light right there. Somebody from the left is going to appear on MSNBC. Gee, what oh what might happen? Well, he talked about Trump. Thank you for playing. He talked about Trump being a felon. Now, nobody's able to articulate exactly what Trump was found guilty of in that New York case where the judge told the jury they could pick from three different charges as long as they all agreed that he was guilty of at least one of the three. Is his crime behind door number one, door number two, or the curtain where lovely Carol Merrill is standing? Anyway, back to the brilliant Princeton professor. He says Trump is a convicted felon, so how could our country possibly have voted for a convicted felon? We chose a felon because we didn't want to elect a black woman. These are the people claiming all the intellectual high ground, claiming the nuance. I remember during the Obama administration when we heard the same drivel that anyone who objected to his socialist policies was really masking the fact that they couldn't stand a black man holding the office of president. But then from the other side of their mouth, conservatives are not nuanced. They look at life with too much simplicity. An example of this simplicity? Well, we heard that if terrorists such as ISIS were just provided jobs, maybe they would stop being terrorists. There couldn't possibly be some radical Muslim ideology behind what they do. It's all about wanting jobs. And we should recognize this. And if conservatives weren't so simple-minded, they would recognize this. These backwoods simpleton designations such as good and evil must be outgrown because times are changing. Life, after all, is more complex than that. Life is complicated. Okay, flash forward from Obama days to present day, and today it gets even more complicated. How mindless and old-fashioned to say that there are only two genders. You may be interested to know that besides male and female, there are actually 72 genders. This from the people telling us to follow the science during COVID. This from the people telling us to follow the science regarding climate change and drive electric cars for the sake of the environment. Unless you decide you don't like the guy who makes the cars, well, in that case, torch the place. Never mind the environment. Never mind what fires do to the environment. So what's the latest nuanced position? The only reason we could possibly have had for voting in Trump is that we did not want to see a black woman as president. The fact that Kamala Harris was a liar and a word salad blithering idiot who didn't actually stand for anything and changed her positions with the wind, no, that couldn't have had anything to do with it. Oh, and ignore the millions of black people who voted for Trump. They aren't really black, they're Oreos. Black on the outside, white on the inside. In fact, some black men, like Larry Elder, are actually white supremacists. Let me tell you something. We have an election for governor coming up this fall in Virginia. Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears is running. She's black, Jamaican-born. Now, I don't live in Virginia, but if I did, I would vote for her in a heartbeat because she's intelligent. She makes sense. She shows leadership, she has a military background, and she has a moral compass, most important of all. Maybe someday she'll run for president. If she did, I could see myself voting for her. But Kamala Harris? I would vote for a slice of Swiss cheese before I'd vote for her. But to the leftists, nope, it's only because she's black. That's it, bucko. It's simple. And yet again, Democrats will deny such simplicity when it comes to other issues like the transgender issue. Did you hear about the bill being passed in Colorado to remove the custody of parents if they don't affirm transgenders? If they dare call their kids by their birth gender instead of the new chosen gender by their children? The GOP state representative Caldwell had a real problem with this. I'm quoting him. We've heard from multiple witnesses that this bill has been worked on for over a year. I learned about this bill yesterday. It was introduced Friday evening. I am curious how much stakeholdering went on both sides of the issue. When asked if parents were talked to as research for this bill, the Democrat state representative Zoki said, and you're going to love this, a well-stakeholdered bill does not need to be discussed with hate groups. That's parents she's talking about. They're now hate groups. And we don't ask someone passing civil rights legislation to go ask the KKK their opinion. So now parents who decided to bring kids into the world, who love them, raise them, provide for them, if they dare care enough to suggest that their child may be confused over something they heard at school, they're going to be compared to the KKK, to people who lynch, people who light crosses on lawns. Would the left compare those who set fires to Tesla plants to the KKK? Of course not. That's freedom of speech. That's peaceful protest. Violence from the left is never violence, but speech from conservatives is violence. Even if it's only in words, it's violence. No need for discussion. Why not? If men can identify as women, violent people can identify as peaceful protesters. See how it works? No need for debate before passing a transgender bill like this. Of course, they have no proof that the parents are racist or hateful for having a different opinion. They have no proof that you hate if you disagree with them. To prove that, they would have to engage in dialogue, and there will be no dialogue with hateful people. Aren't you paying attention? Well, pay attention to this. Kids don't think of these things in a vacuum. These brain-dead ideas don't just pass into their heads. All by himself, a little kindergartner or first-grade boy is saying, "I think I'm actually a girl." No, some adult with a warped agenda put that idea in their minds. If going into the classrooms of little children and suggesting that they may be a different gender than how they are raised and attempting to remove custody from their parents, should the parents so much as express any kind of opinion or concern, if that isn't the most heinously evil, grotesque form of child abuse, the word abuse should be removed from the dictionary. But moral inconsistencies are not new to the woke or politically correct. Now, I don't always want to have to give my disclaimer about how there are many peaceful Muslims in the world, but I guess it's necessary. Yes, there are many peaceful Muslims in the world, but the violent Muslims are getting their cues for violence from the Quran. They are, and I say that as one who's read it. These terrorist groups think they're obeying Allah. And when there's Muslim violence in the United States or Europe or anywhere, what does the left immediately say? Now, a few apples don't spoil the whole barrel. Just because this person happens to be Muslim, we can't condemn Muslim ideology. We can't condemn all Muslims. But these same people, if a police officer shoots a black person who resisted arrest, will say, all police officers are racist. This just tells us that the entire police department in the USA needs to be reimagined, defunded. The left just makes this up as they go, and they reimagine everything. Did you know that 60% of Democrats now think the assassination of Donald Trump or Elon Musk might be justified? 60%. And the primary Columbia student group that's been doing all this support of Hamas actions, they not only support Hamas, an organization that raped and murdered Jewish families in fall of 2023, they not only support Hamas, but they, like Hamas, seek the entire destruction of Western civilization. Not just Israel, Western civilization. I told you this was never about a two-state solution. To hear from the left, to hear from the radical Muslims in the Middle East, you'd think that there was this indigenous nation called Palestine that lived there for thousands of years till the Jews came over from Europe and threw them out. This was the ancient homeland of the Jews. They were removed from their land, most of them, not all of them, by the Romans, who renamed the land Palestine, Latinized version of Philistine. Philistine was an extinct enemy of Israel. Emperor Hadrian, tired of Jewish uprisings, was rubbing it in their face. Palestine became a nickname. In the 1940s, when the United Nations offered a two-state solution between the Jews and the Arabs living in the land, and the Arabs were not calling themselves Palestinians. There's never been a nation called Palestine. The word Palestinian is an informal nickname, if anything, was used of the Jews. But the Arabs did not want the Jews in the land because the Jews were not Muslim. Nevertheless, the United Nations suggested a two-state solution. The Jews agreed. The Arabs did not. Surrounding nations led by Egypt and Syria and others tried to annihilate the Jews. The Jews won that war. It displaced some Arab refugees. Those refugees were retitled Palestinian, a publicity ploy by Yasser Arafat, who is Egyptian-born, incidentally, and created the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And since then, the nation has been fed this lie. It's a lie to say that if Israel agreed to a two-state solution, there would be peace. Over the years, Israel has given back land. They gave back the Sinai. They gave back the Gaza Strip. How did that work out for them? Right after giving back the Gaza Strip, synagogues were burnt down. And that's after Israel gave millions of dollars for the building of hospitals and schools. That money went to terrorism instead. It's always the same. Israel agrees to give back land. The other side agrees to stop attacking them. They always go back on their agreement. Missiles were fired into Israel immediately back in 2005 when the Gaza Strip was put back. If we had a two-state solution tomorrow, people would call for the right of return. If you listen to these terrorist groups, they're not calling for a two-state solution. They're calling for Israel's annihilation. They do not really want a two-state solution. Neither was there ever in history a country called Palestine that inhabited that land. It's simply not true. Now, what I'm saying right now to most of you sounds rather bizarre. It sounds like I'm the one making this up. Well, look it up. Not in books of historical revision, but books of real history that are no longer taught at our universities today. And because they're no longer taught at our universities today, I'm the one who sounds like he's out in left field. But you should know that the people in left field are usually the people on the left. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I cannot say it too many times. Parents, I don't know what you're paying to send your kids to college these days, but you've got to believe me, it's too much. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Just a little bit of pop culture. I heard depressing news this morning. Netflix is remaking The Chronicles of Narnia. And no surprises here, Aslan is going to be a female lion. with Meryl Streep voicing it. Have they learned nothing from Snow White? Anselm was C.S. Lewis's figure of Christ. Christ was a man. I don't care if it's PC to say that or not. Christ was a man. This is not a good idea. They've learned nothing from Disney and Snow White. I hope this thing just tanks. That would be the only kind of artistic justice that could possibly be done. All right. Say hello to Brendan Thomas.
Well, wouldn't it be the biggest flaw that Netflix has usually when it comes to their programming? I swear to you.
I thought Netflix was getting away from the woke. I had heard a couple of years ago that they were moving away from that.
No, I've heard the opposite. There's a lot of wokeness coming around that network, and even Dave Stahl himself, I know, has unsubscribed to Netflix for sure. The only time he resubscribed was for a sporting event, and that sporting event was plagued with bugs galore. Like, it was delayed so far. I was watching, and they finished the first round of boxing, and then all of a sudden my phone dings. I'm like, huh, what's going on? And it says, oh, fight's finished, by the way. I'm like, what? I thought I was watching this live. I could have sworn.
And I don't know if they're releasing this to the theaters. If it goes directly to streaming, I suppose in time people might download it and listen to it. It's at the theaters that it could bomb out. So I almost hope they try it at the theaters just for that reason alone. Although I guess there's ways to track the streaming too. It could bomb as a stream too.
Yes. What I do worry about too, though, if you do put it in the theaters and it bombs, that's a tax write-off for Netflix. And so it doesn't hurt them in the long run. I've seen The Producers by Mel Brooks. I know what's going on around here.
Well, you know, for years, C.S. Lewis's family wouldn't release the rights to those books because C.S. Lewis himself, when he was alive, he said, nobody would be able to do it. I don't want an adult putting a lion suit on.
Absolutely.
But when they came out with CGI and all these great special effects, his kids said, okay. I can't believe his kids would have okayed this. This is such a horrible idea.
I know.
And I'll make a prediction. You just watch. The evil witch, she won't be evil.
Probably something along the lines
of
that.
Yeah, she'll have a dysfunctional family.
Well, I think they'll
make her a grayer area. She was a misunderstood person. They'll go the way of wicked.
I think they lived in a middle-class family with a middle-class house.
She was picked on when she was little by the other witches. That one I didn't hear, but Brendan, mark this day. I'll take that to the bank. I will eat my hat if they don't make the movie that way.
I think that's one of the other reasons why, like, there's some other books that have kind of struggled in terms of making it, because their families want to protect the legacy behind
these good
books.
For them. Yeah. Good for the families.
One of mine I think would have been a good book would have been The Catcher in the Rye, personally. I think that would have been a good book.
Oh, yeah, but Salinger refused to let them make it into a movie. He always said nobody could play the part but me, and I'm too old.
Exactly, yeah. Instead, what they did was made a movie about J.D. Salinger.
Which was a good movie. Did you see that?
Rebel in the Rye?
As a writer, I loved that movie. It was such a primer on writing. I just loved it.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it was a really
good movie. He was a fascinating individual.
So I have a couple of things before I get into the main topics I have. Number one, shame on social media for misleading me and making me click on headlines that are sort of true, but make me think entirely false. I saw that Kash Patel was out of his government position. That was the headline. I was like, what do you mean? He was doing a good job as director of FBI so far, I thought. And then I come to figure out clicking it. No, he's out as acting ATF director is what the specific news story was. So there's social media messing me up again, clicking on stories that in the long run, no, that wasn't as popular or a bigger deal than I thought it was going to be in the first place. Number two, I want to say congratulations to the San Diego Padres. They swept the Colorado Rockies today. And in fact, today our main pitcher, our starting pitcher, actually pitched a complete game, which means he pitched the entire game. It wasn't flawless. I think he had a couple of hits today, so it wasn't a no-hitter, unfortunately, or a perfect game, but a complete game nonetheless. Congratulations to the San Diego Padres, having the best record in baseball, too, mind you, too. I know we're super early. We finished 16 games.
A lot can happen. It's a long season.
We have 146 games left to go. So, well, I'll wait.
But we're off to a good start.
Exactly, yes. All right. One of the main topics I wanted to talk to you about was tipping in today's society. Boy, oh boy, I cannot go into any business without, I just need you to just tap something on the screen right there. Just go ahead and tap right there and I won't look.
And I feel bad when I don't hit it, but I always thought tipping was for when you're in a restaurant and you're getting extraordinary service. The guy behind the counter at McDonald's is just handing you a bag. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's not making great wages, but I just don't. The other thing that I hate is this, would you like to round it off and give to this charity and that charity? Now, Dana and I do a lot of giving, but I just get annoyed being asked that question every single time. Mm-hmm. I shop, so I used to say, yeah, sure. Now I'm just saying, no, not today.
Yeah, and they're okay with that. You're not hurting anyone.
No,
but it's not. A personal
But I'm
thing.
Just tired of being... Plus, I don't really know where this money's going anyway. Yeah. It's just, it's too much.
So the reason why I bring this topic up is I went to a coffee shop today and I decided, yeah, I'm going to tip. For me, it was two things that kind of constituted it. Number one, I ordered food and the guy was actually making it fresh. Now, no offense to Starbucks workers out there if you're listening, but you guys have frozen food and you just throw it into the oven and let it cook and then that's it. And so I don't view that as actual cooking. He's actually assembling the sandwich like with the
And you can
things.
Still wait forever even for the stuff it's they throw into the microwave.
It's true, yeah. So I decided that was a good reason to tip. And a number two reason, it was a local business I was supporting too. So I felt like because it's a local business with local workers, I think it's only fair that I do that. But yeah, my wife got at me a little bit by saying like, you know, it's a coffee shop though. A coffee shop is different than an actual restaurant where they sit down. You have actual chefs cooking from raw ingredients.
Well, I get good service at Starbucks for the most part, and they know who I am. I'm kind of like Norm on Cheers. I walk in, it's Bob, because I do all my work there. I bring in my computer. I do my writing. I work on the radio show. So there are times when I feel like I ought to be tipping them more than I have been. So yeah. I guess I'm committing myself over the air here.
Now, there's some businesses that I don't understand why they're tipping. I was listening to a podcast where this person went into a loan office to get loans, and they actually wanted her to tip the workers that were giving her a loan. Bank workers. That's ridiculous. You work at a bank, you're doing just fine.
It's one of those things where it's a nice idea, but human beings bring everything to extremes.
Yeah, and then you have to make sure you keep tax records of it because, again, the government wants to do that. Now, Trump, during his campaigns, has
no
stated...
No tax on tips, which exactly. I think is great.
Now, I don't know if that's happened with this upcoming, because that is in a
that's
couple
a
days,
good
everybody.
Question. I hope they put that in there because it was a huge... And then remember, Kamala started campaigning on that too and tried to pretend it was her idea.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, it wasn't. We know who originated it from. No. But nevertheless, just a reminder, 2 days from now, as of what we're talking right now, your taxes are due. So make sure you fill out the paperwork correctly and everything. But yes, I do believe you do have to still put your tips numbers into your taxes.
Oh,
here
on
right
this
now.
Year's
yes.
report, certainly.
But
because
next
anything
year's
gonna Trump's
be
going to do, yeah. And then they might make it retroactive or something.
Something like that. Exactly. Yeah. Nevertheless, certain businesses, I have to say, definitely deserve tipping, obviously. I say restaurants, local businesses, specifically in the food industry or minimum wage workers, because I think they deserve it. But like mechanic shops.
Well, somebody's working around your house or doing. Yeah, I enjoy tipping somebody who's done a good
right,
job.
Right, right.
I just get tired of it being brought up everywhere I go.
It's more so now than ever before, I feel.
I mean, you buy a candy bar at a 7-Eleven, you're going to tip the guy?
I think I went to a vending machine and it asked me for a tip. I'm
you're
like,
kidding
me. No, I'm just joking.
I wouldn't have been surprised. Well, that's a good one, but I wouldn't have been surprised.
Yes. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. I have some San Diego news coming up, and then our last segment today, I have some international news. We're going to go all the way down to South America Latin America area for our last segment. So,
well, I'm glad you're going to start with San Diego because we're certainly as screwy as the rest of the world.
That's very true. All right, we'll be right back.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's
447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a six-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
We are in San Diego, Bob, so it only fits that I do some San Diego news here in lovely, lovely America's finest city, San Diego. Two news that are very, very quick. The zoo and the safari park are going to close early for summer hours. So
early for summer? I thought summer was the time they stayed later.
I know, but they actually are going to close early.
Especially the felines. They're more active at night.
I agree. And same thing with the koalas,
now,
too.
What bonehead came up with this
idea? I'm not sure, but they never stated publicly, unfortunately.
Maybe they weren't getting enough tips.
Good reference. So last year, they were open 9 to 9, the zoo. This year, they're only going to be 9 to 8 p.m. this time around. The safari park's actually going to get hit the most. They were 9 to 7 last year. This year, they announced that they're only going to be open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. this time
around.
How's
that any different than the wintertime?
I'm not sure. And also, I'm not sure of the reasoning, too. My only guess is these are city-funded ideas, right?
Yeah, well, they're zoological societies. They take donations.
Okay, gotcha. Also, because of city funding, and I do have a couple of city funding things to talk about here, too, on top
maybe
of that.
Maybe the staff needs extra time to learn their pronouns.
Maybe.
Maybe the animals haven't learned their pronouns.
Exactly, yeah. So you're a girl, and you're a boy.
How dare you say lion and lioness?
Exactly. So I'm not entirely sure. They haven't stated it publicly, but just to give you a heads up, when the summertime does come around, these are the new hours, so make sure you're planning accordingly, according to these hours, too.
Oh, I can't wait to visit them and see Meryl Streep dressed as Anselin in one of the cages.
It's true. So, next thing I wanted to mention, too. So, some credit unions are going to be merging here. Cal Coast and San Diego County credit unions, they have announced that they're going to be merging, and they will retain the California Coast Credit Union. The only thing to note I'm just going to say here, and I'm going to bring up the reason why I'm bringing this up here, is Todd Lane, he is the CEO and president of California Coast Credit Union. He's going to retain his title CEO, while San Diego County Credit Union Teresa Campbell has announced her retirement by the end of this month, so she will step down from her position. My question to you here is, do you know how long this merger is supposed to take? Because usually governmental officials, when it comes to merge businesses, it takes a very, very long time to get approved here in America. And this includes banks for this matter, because they did say that anyone that's in San Diego County Credit Unions, you're automatically going to be now a California Coast Credit Union member. So any loans, other issues, saving accounts, checking accounts, everything's going to transfer just fine. So should this process take a while, do you think? Or do you think this is going to be a pretty quick 30-day?
Oh, I would have no idea. With the government, you'd never think it would be quick unless there's something nefarious going on. They have some reason for wanting it to be
right.
Quick.
And I don't think this merger cost that much money in the first place.
Maybe not. So is it looking like it's going to be quick then?
I think so. The reason why I'm bringing this up too again is, for example, there's a radio station here in San Diego that got bought and the FCC has approved of it. However, they have to go through a final order in order to officially approve the sale. So there's an extra layer or an extra governmental layer to this whole thing. So I don't understand why that's taking so long. The actual cost of the station is only like $1 million, which is penny
change. It's not our station, is it?
No, okay. Definitely not. I promise. Yeah. No, I can't say the station, unfortunately, because we're not one of the ones that bought it. But nevertheless, I don't understand why there needs to be this extra layer to this whole thing. If the FCC, who's one of the head...
When bureaucracy's involved, there's always an extra layer.
No, it's an unnecessary
layer.
They have
a committee that dreams up extra layers just for the purpose of extra
layers.
We
have a committee about the committee.
That's
for
right.
Sakes.
That's right.
Yeah, so I just don't understand why we need these many layers in our governmental things. Like, if we have done federal investigations, if the actual federal government themselves have approved of this thing, why not just push through and then we're done? Wipe our hands clean. Let's move on.
Well, Brendan, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? There's your answer. That's why they're not doing it.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for that. Okay, now moving on to the actual big thing of City of San Diego. City of San Diego is now going to be proposing to stop with their fee of a 10% trash collection. What happened was they're having a budget deficit right now, and so they needed a way to figure out how are we going to get more money in order to fix this budget deficit. And one of the ideas that they came up with was a 10% increase on everyone's trash collecting. So right now, it was going to be $53 per month for those who are using 95-gallon waste containers. It's now going to be set $5 less at $48 per month now instead. And then additionally, if you have a 35-gallon bin or in a 65-gallon bin, those are going to be $37 and $43 respectively. Again,
so the government got together and made something cheaper.
Exactly.
Now, how did this happen? Oh, somebody's head's going to roll.
Yeah, you're going to, well, I shouldn't say love this, but it's a sarcasm of loving for sure. But what I will say here very quickly before I move on is that Kirby Brady, who's the interim director of environmental services, is going to present this proposal to the city council on Monday. So it hasn't been approved yet. So this is just a proposal, mind you. And the vote won't happen on Monday. They're going to have a hearing about this in early June. So the earliest that this whole thing can be set by is July 1st, mind
you. But they haven't raised anything yet.
No, they have raised.
Oh, they have
sure.
raised it. They're just about lowering it.
Yeah, this is about proposing to lower it.
Okay.
Now, you're going to say, well, there's got to be a cause and effect here. So we are lowering the cost, but we still have this budget deficit. So what's going to...
It'll do nothing. I don't know what's going to happen or how the gymnastics are. I can just guarantee you it'll do nothing for the deficit.
Oh, well, what do you know, Bob? How about this? They're actually going to start charging parking now at Balboa Park. That's the next proposal coming up here.
Oh, great.
So as you know, it's free parking at Balboa Park or around the street areas too.
It's free parking at the zoo.
Exactly. But now they're going to start charging $9 for parking now instead. That's another proposal coming up. So in this case, this reform, this could raise up to $100 million, which will definitely take care of the budget deficit. However, of course, we're now getting rid of more public parking and there's people that have to add to their costs. The zoo is already how much money to get into in the first place?
Yeah.
And now you're adding more.
And well, the animal park is always charged for parking, but the zoo in San Diego has been free
yes,
parking.
Yes, exactly. Safari Park, I think it's like $15.
Oh,
but
yeah,
we're
yeah.
specifically looking at Balboa Park. Not to mention the museums charge a certain amount of money too.
Yes.
I'm not complaining about how much they charge for admission, stuff like that. It's honestly a reasonable price for everything there, but it's also just ridiculous. There's always a cause and effect to everything here, and even in a local government. One of the things that I do want to mention too is that 3 years ago, the city of San Diego had two very costly projects on them for budget proposal, which included a 25% wage increase to every single city worker. That was included into their new budget. The other thing, too, is this unincorporated business tall building on 101 Ash Street. The city of San Diego, I guess you could say they volunteered themselves to help kind of refurbish the entire building themselves instead of, you know, having a guy actually lease it out and himself refurbishing it. So our city tax dollars were going straight to refurbishing this. And guess what? That building, like I said, it's still unincorporated. It has no businesses, no person in there. Still is being refurbished after 3 years still. It hasn't been finished yet. They said they're going to finish in a couple years from now. I don't believe it. Construction always takes so gosh darn long here in San Diego. As you can see, I'm starting to get a little upset. My blood pressure's boiling for how long everything has to take in our government, even in a local sense. But nevertheless, I do want to point out too that San Diego is one of the only cities in California that is actually doing a trash collection fee, mind you, too. So other cities right now, even LA, they don't do a trash collection fee up there. So that's ridiculous that we're even paying on this. This is a measure back in Measure B of 2022 that we allowed to impose trash collection fees on single family households, mind you, too. So we voted for this in order to give us extra funding for everything. One last thing I do want to mention, this measure did mention that all this fees will go, according to city officials, aims to give more money to general funding for projects and improve our public safety, parks, and public education system. I wonder which
one. I smell more pronouns.
No. So again, this whole thing is going to be taking place on Monday, which is tomorrow of when we're talking right now. So we'll keep you guys posted on if there is going to be a decrease and whether they're actually going to implode.
I'd love to see the proposal shredded and put into the trash. That's where it belongs.
I think we should actually decrease some wages inside city.
Is keeping the best people in power. It's just wonderful.
I know. All right, Bob. Well, I got one more segment with you. Let's go out of this country for once and let's go international into Ecuador, if we don't mind, after this commercial break, okay?
I'd like to believe in Jesus, but the title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But, by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Welcome back to one more segment of the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob, I do have some breaking news for you here. We were going to talk about the election and each of the people, but the election has just actually ended.
Oh, here we go.
All right. So with 93% of the ballots counted, and it's now officially 55.8% of the votes versus 44.1, over a million votes difference, President Daniel Noboa has officially won. Now, I'm still going to talk about it nevertheless, about this election, because it was quite interesting. And
so a lot of listeners are probably thinking, well, who cares what's going on in Ecuador? So what was it about this one that grabbed your attention?
This one in particular, this is a turning point, I think, in the country right now for many, many different reasons. So very quickly, Ecuador was going to have a runoff presidential election today, which they just finished. And the race was supposed to be a dead heat between them. They were at a 50-50 basically in the country. It was going to come down to a few votes. votes. But surprisingly enough, there's a huge difference in the voting gap here. 1 million is a lot right there.
The polls must have been way off.
I guess so. So keep in mind about Ecuador's current problems right now. We are having some huge issues, from drug trafficking, drug lords, gangs. There was an assassination of a presidential candidate back in 2023. There was a prison that killed 6 men. There was also a security crackdown where several prison riots, and there was an on-air siege of a TV station telling to bring down the government as well, too. That was another scary situation. All over this in Ecuador in the year 2023, mind you, too. In the past 5 years, Ecuador has experienced an explosion in violence linked to drug trafficking, a justice system plagued by overcrowding, corruption, and underfunding, and has become a fertile ground for prison gangs aligned with international drug cartels, too. However, at the same time of this, 36% of Ecuadorians who are registered voters have also said that the economy is their top concern right now, because we're in a recession currently right now in their own personal country's economics. So, I still want to take a look at the two candidates that we still had. This was a matter of left versus right, or, again, conservative versus liberal.
And who won, the conservative or the liberal?
Unfortunately, the liberal did win the right side of things. So I'll go over him first and see if the country does agree with him taking office again. So he's only been in office for 16 months so far. This time around, he was trying to crack down on violence. However, his results haven't been very, very good. As soon as he got into office, I will give him his flowers or his credit. The homicide rate was going down sharply. However, right now in his 16-month reign ever since then, they've gone back to their same heights as they were before. It's very unfortunate to see. Apparently, he is a Harvard educated and he is an heir to a million-dollar banana empire. And he took office in 2023 after his predecessor called for an early elections amid impeachment proceedings. So the president prior to this was going to be
impeachment.
Exactly.
By having an early election.
Exactly. Yeah. So he ran for a national legislator seat against the same person that he's running against. Her name is Luisa Gonzalez. And political analysts thought that he won the election because of his strong debate performance against Ms. Gonzalez. To address the escalating violence and prison riots, Noboa has declared a state of internal armed conflict, and this was as of last year. He authorized that military could patrol both streets and prisons, for that matter, for all that. So that is very scary that you're actually involving your own military, mind you. We've only involved our police force, never our military, for that matter. And if it has gone to our military, it's been a very rare occasion and very little amounts of military. He also drew international attention when he ordered police to enter the Mexican embassy in Quito, which is their country's capital, to arrest a politician who was facing a prison sentence for corruption. Critics saw the move as a violation of diplomatic norms and an abuse of power, so he went above and beyond what his actual powers were inside Ecuadorian governmental power. And then also there were some other people that said that he is unafraid to challenge entrenched corruption and bend the rules when necessary. This is his supporter saying this. For example, Ecuadorians were backing a tough on crime agenda by voting in favor of a referendum that formally expanded the military's role in law enforcement. Noboa also sought to cast himself as Ecuadorian's best representative on a world stage, emphasizing his ability to build relationships with global leaders, even going as much to say he's as good as President Trump, which I don't know about that much. It's quite interesting.
You know, success has 1,000 fathers, failure none.
I love that saying. I'm going to use that one more. It's funny to note, too, that the Ecuadorian president was one of the few Latin American leaders to actually invite Mr. Trump during his second presidential inauguration, and he actually recently met with him at his Mar-a-Lago resort in South Florida. However, political analysts have said that even with his efforts to court Mr. Trump, the meetings actually haven't really led to any materials of commitments from the U.S. at all. He's just there to visit with Mr. Trump, basically. Last thing to note was experts saw that Korea's decision to expel U.S. military forces as a setback weakened border control and made it easier for transnational drug traffickers to operate within his country, too. So a lot of things, a lot of negativity, in my opinion, for that one. Now, on the other side of things, Luisa Gonzalez was a lawyer, but she was also someone that was backed by Korea way back in the day before she decided, oh, I'm going to go against him now for sure. So she is more of a conservative point of view. She served in various positions all over the government. She also helped the economy when the last president was in office. She also helped lower crime rates and increased healthcare and education for the country. The only thing that critics were skeptical on was her foreign policies. While as a governmental official within the Ecuadorian government, she never touched foreign policy. So that's where her least focus was on. So a lot of people were skeptical. And I think Ecuadorians obviously saw that too. They were more focused on how are we going to do in a foreign way more than within our country, possibly, I'm going to say. So quite interesting results, though, that Noboa wins instead of anyone else. I think that we're going to see Ecuador hopefully get a little bit better, but I have my doubts, especially with the guy being so, I'm just as good as Trump and everything, but he's not getting a good relationship with Trump. If he has a good relationship.
If he's saying that, he's not going to be in a good relationship.
Exactly. If he's as good as Trump or anything like that, his negotiations, his country would be in a better stance right now. So I don't know how long president terms last in Ecuador, but I don't suspect anything much is going to change. I really do hope the drug trafficking and the homicide rates definitely go down. But man, oh man, this is a tough one.
We haven't heard the word Ecuador as much in terms of refugees getting across our southern border. Do you know what the stats
are? I think
more of
do.
Ours come from central than south.
Oh, is that
America.
Right? Okay. Well, I could have sworn.
But we get some. I mean, we're getting a lot from Venezuela. That's South
for sure.
America.
Yes, yeah. So I could have sworn there was a lot of Ecuadorians coming through
you
Mexico.
You may be right. I just don't
up.
Remember hearing the word Ecuador as much as I'm hearing other countries.
Yeah, but I definitely have heard of the live TV siege situation. I heard about that. I definitely heard about the homicide rates, and I definitely heard about the drug trafficking issues there. And it's very disappointing to see still within 16 months of presidency, he was not able to change that. But maybe, again, I don't know how long the terms are. I'm going to predict it's 4 years, just like our government. Maybe these next 4 years, we will see some actual hardcore stances. They have a very similar government style to us in a democracy, so maybe he might be sending out executive orders. I'm not sure if you really do want to leave with your military in this situation, but it is a very serious situation that I understand why you want to put the military in there. But keep in mind, the military is used for specific reasons, and you shouldn't have an authoritarian figure over that situation. So I wish Ecuador the best of luck for this, but it is a very scary situation, and we'll wait and see on how the presidency is going to last.
Yeah,
here.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Thanks for looking into it.
Of course. Well, thank you so much, Bob, for this time tonight. I really appreciate it.
And have a great Easter.
Happy Easter to you, and happy Easter to all the listeners out there, too, as well. The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.